If you would, open up your Bibles to John chapter 3. The song that the ladies just sang, it made me think of this verse. A couple came to mind, but this one especially, John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They just sang that song, Whosoever Will May Come. Goes along with the message we're going to look at tonight, and the fact that everybody has ever been a sinner. Everybody has always has sinned for their whole life. There's never been a perfect person on the earth besides Adam, and even he sinned. And yet God can save souls. God will save souls. And the fact of the matter is, you cannot save yourself. You need God's help. And I sit there and I think sometimes, man, how could God save sinners? And then I remember he's really good at doing it because he's been saving them from the very beginning. Even from the first man, Adam, the only person who can be saved is a sinner. And it makes me think, hey, God's pretty awesome. In that, in everything he did, in all the amazing creation that he did, and all the fantastic and awesome things we read about in the Bible, probably the most amazing thing he ever did was save my soul. Yeah. To sit here and read these verses and turn to Matthew, or sorry, Luke. Luke 23, and I just sit there and I want you to take a second and just listen to the words that the Word of God says. Luke 23, verse 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers said also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Yet let him save himself if he be Christ, the chosen of God. I sit there and I read that verse. Out of everything that he could have done, he sat there and looked at the people who were killing him and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you go read these verses, and they mocked him and said, he saved others, let him save himself if he be Christ, the chosen of God. The reason that he did not save himself is because he is the Christ, the chosen of God. Because he knew that the most important thing in that moment was to stay on that cross to purchase salvation for every single one of us. I sit there and think, what people use to mock him is the whole reason why he was on there. Because to be the Christ is to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. That is why he died on that cross. So, real quickly, before we get too far into it, Brother Ryan, please do some more prayer. If you would, open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Hopefully your Bibles are already open, but just for good measure. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 8. And I'll start in verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of Christ, of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 and verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. We're going to look this evening and understand you cannot make yourself right with God. Lost or saved, the forgiveness of God always comes by grace in Jesus Christ. We're going to sit here and see you do not have the power to make yourself right with God. Even you can change everything in your life. You cannot make yourself right with God. It always takes Jesus Christ. We read in Ephesians, the grace, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You go look at Romans chapter 3, we just read, justified by him. Understand, turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The book of 1 John was not written to lost people. It was written to New Testament church members. It was written to saved individuals. That verse is not talking about salvation and getting your heart right with God from lost to salvation. It's the forgiveness of sins after you are saved. How does that happen? By Jesus Christ. It is no other way to get your heart right besides Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Understand, we always equate Jesus Christ dying on the cross to the forgiveness of sins at salvation. We have to realize and see the blood that Jesus Christ shed on that cross did not just cover my sins at the point of salvation. Every time that I have sinned since my salvation, I was saved June 15, 2008. It's been about, 18 years, give or take, since then? Every time that I've sinned after I've gotten saved, the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on the cross that saved my soul is the same blood that allows me to be forgiven. We sit there and we separate those two, thinking that salvation and getting your heart right are completely separate things. Do you think we sit there and think, well, you know, God needs to forgive me of my sins to be saved, but afterwards it's on me. The process doesn't change. The process has never changed. It is still repentance toward God and faith that he can forgive you of your sins. And if you do not fully give it over to God, lost or saved, you're not going to get forgiven. We sit there and harp on that with salvation. You have to let it all go. If you have sin in your life right now that you need to get right with God as a saved child of God, as a church member, you still have to let it all go. You can't hold anything back. Repentance is fully turning from sin and turning to God. Show me where repentance changes at all in the Word of God. It has always been the exact same, but yet we try to separate it. Maybe make it more watered down for us because, you know, at least I'm saved. How many of us think that? I've thought that, well, I know I'm wrong, but at least I'm saved. That is a terrible mindset to be in, because why be just saved when you can have so much more? And even still, guess what? God hates sin no matter if you're lost or saved. The Creator will still hate your sin even if you're saved. He'll look at you and you still get to go to heaven, but you will be disgusting in his eyes. You will be seen as somebody full of sin. I just thought about this this afternoon getting ready. If we're only supposed to be forgiven of our sins one time, we're just constantly going to be disgusting. How many of us, one time in our life, brushed our teeth and never once again did it? It'd be gross. Guess what? The more that you sin and don't get your heart right with God, the grosser you are. The more that God looks and just sees sin. Now, you are still a saved child of God, and you look at Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 4 and John 10. You can never lose your salvation. And I thank God for that, because how many times would I have lost my salvation? If that wasn't the case, I would be probably dead and going to hell right this second. Because I can't count. I probably can't count how many times I've been wrong with God, and for long periods of time. How many of us right now are sitting in that position? Lost person. God does not even know who you are. You go turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. If you are not saved, God does not know who you are. He created your soul. He might know your name, but you do not have a personal relationship with God. He does not know who you are. So at the moment in eternity, if you die lost, when he throws you into the lake of fire, it will hurt him that his creation that he loved more than anything else that he ever made gets cast into the lake of fire. But guess what? He will not know who you are. And in eternity, after all is said and done, he'll probably forget that you were even there. Because at the time when he died on the cross, he did it for you to accept him. After that, it's on you to reject him or to accept him. I turn to Psalm 86. Psalm 86, verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon thee. That verse is just as true today as it was back when it was written originally. Thou art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy. That means God has done everything that he has to do. He's given you the opportunity. He's opened the door. He's paid the price. And you have to be the one that accepts it or not. By the way, after you're saved, you're the one that has to accept his forgiveness or not. God's not going to force it on you, lost or saved. But in my brain, I sit there and think, well, I'm saved, so it's okay. So no matter what, God will be okay with what I do because at least I'm saved. That is not the truth. If that was the case, Psalm 51 wouldn't have existed. David wouldn't have lost his son. Moses wouldn't have lost the opportunity to go into the promised land. Fill in the blank of what people lost because their sin. They were all saved children of God. They still lost something. You know, Uzziah, a man that did right in the eyes of God, if God was okay with whatever he did when he went and took the incense from the temple, God wouldn't have given him leprosy to the day he died. God would have said, yeah, that's okay. Go for it. No, God still hates sin, whether you're lost or saved. It is still an abomination to him, and you still need him to save your soul. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We're going to look at sin a little bit, and we're going to look at the fact that God made it so clear to tell us what sin is that we have no excuse. We have no, well, I didn't know that was wrong. No, we all know. It's whether you're choosing to believe it or not. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. How do we know what sin is? God told us exactly what sin is. Every single sin that you can think of has been covered in the Word of God. It might look different. Covetous is still covetousness. It might look different. Pride is still pride. Lust is still lust. Murder is still murder. There has never been a sin committed that God did not say, do not do it. So when we sit there and think, well, I didn't know that was a problem. I don't see it that way. It doesn't matter what you see. Think about what does God see? And if he said, do not do it, and you do it, you've committed a sin. You go look into the law of God and show me a sin that we have today that was not in that law somewhere. You go look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Verse 9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. You also go look at Isaiah. And God knows the end from the beginning. God knows everything. So if something needs to be covered, God covered it in the Word of God. That also means everything that we need to know about life after and, you know, how to live for God, God covered it all. We don't need to add our 2 cents to it. If it needed to be said, God would have said it. If it didn't need to be said, guess what? God didn't say it. Sometimes we come up with, well, there's gaps in the Word of God. No, there's gaps in what you're willing to believe about the Word of God. But if God wanted it covered, he covered it in here. There is no excuse. So when we stand before God in judgment, you will have no excuse. So quit giving yourself an excuse now. If you don't want to accept Jesus Christ, lost person, don't play games. Don't blame somebody else. Just admit to yourself, I don't want God. Because that's what you're going to have to tell him when you stand before him. Saved person, if you don't want to get your heart right with God, don't say, well, it's this person's fault or that person's fault. Just say, I don't want a relationship with God. Because regardless of the excuse, that's what you're going to say. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If you are unwilling to forgive, tell God, I don't want your forgiveness anymore. Because it's not good enough. Because if you are unwilling to forgive, guess what? God will not forgive you. Well, I don't like that verse. Too bad. It's written right there. Show me where it's not in your Bible, and I'll tell you to get a different Bible because it's the wrong one. Because at the end of the day, we can come up with the excuses. We are going to stand before God. We sing a song, Family Choir, Redemption Draweth Nigh. That means there's coming a time when Jesus Christ is going to be here. We're going to be taken out of here, and you're going to have to stand him, stare at him face to face. And what's your excuse going to be? Well, your Bible wasn't good enough. Go read John 1. What is the word of God? It is Jesus Christ himself. You're going to have to tell Jesus Christ, you're not good enough. How many of us are bold enough to say God's not good enough? How many of us are willing to say right now, Jesus isn't good enough? Jesus made a mistake. If Jesus made a mistake, guess what? I'm not truly saved. Well, I know I'm saved, so I know Jesus didn't make a mistake. That means I made the mistake. God covered it all. It's on me. Turn to James chapter 2. When you look at the law, there's no escaping it. Now, we are not under the law of Moses. We don't have to practice it, but it still applies in showing us our shortcomings as a human being. Why do we look at the law? Because it shows us who we truly are. It shows us that we are nothing but sinners. Why do you think the law was there in the first place? To show us who mankind really is. Because we get in our own head and think we're some great thing. And then God comes along, shows us the law, and tells us you're nothing more than nothing. We're not anything compared to God. Turn to James chapter 2 and verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. It does not matter what sin you commit. You're not better than anybody else, because guess what? You break one law, you break it all. Well, at least I'm not that. Well, if they broke the law and I broke the law, guess what? We're same level. We're all guilty. But how many of us like to think about that? Think that I'm just as bad a sinner as everybody else. I remember when I was lost, I thought, hey, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'll be okay. You know, you talk to people who are lost and they think, well, you know I sin, but I'm not that bad of a sinner. Show them this verse right here. If you break one point of it, you've broken it all. You go look at the rich young ruler. He said, I kept all the law my whole life. Jesus asked him, what about this? What about selling all that you give and give to the poor? Guess what? He broke that law. He was guilty of it all. There is no good sinners, bad sinners. There are sinners and there are sinners. The only good in us is if we have Jesus Christ in our life. And by the way, that was the whole purpose of the law, was to point us to Jesus Christ. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. Turn to stay in Hebrews chapter 7. Jump down to verse 24. But this man, because he continued ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. You jump over to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ is not entered into a holy place made with hands, which are a figure of the true, but into heaven himself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should be offered. For himself often, as a high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of the others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once is the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. What did God just give in Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 7? The priesthood, all that was in the law. What did it always point to? Jesus Christ. Why? Because at the end of the day, the law saved no person. It always went to Jesus Christ. You cannot look at the law and see anything else than Jesus Christ. If you do, you've perverted the law and become a Pharisee, because they didn't see Jesus Christ. Understand, if you put the onus on yourself to figure it all out on your own, you won't find Jesus Christ, and you'll end up miserable and alone in life. We always point to Jesus Christ. Turn to John chapter 5. Actually, hold your finger here. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. What did it do? It brought us to Christ, to be justified by faith. You look at Hebrews and you go look at the Old Testament. Those sacrifices, the physical sacrifice, never justified a single person. It was what they pointed to, and the faith in that sacrifice, what it pointed to, Jesus Christ is what saved a soul. Moses was not saved by the sacrifices that he did. Neither was Aaron. Nobody was ever saved by the sacrifices they did. What did they save them? Same thing that saves me. Same thing that saves you. Repentance toward God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what saves a soul. Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seeketh not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe in my words? Right there. You go read Moses. Who would, if you believed in Moses, what would you believe in? Jesus Christ himself. Why? Because everything that Moses wrote pointed directly to Jesus Christ. We heard about it in Brother Dale's BTC class. Those that are written in the law and the prophets concerning me. Who is the me he's talking about? It's talking about Jesus Christ. You cannot look at the law of God and not see two things. One, that you are a sinner, and two, that you need Jesus Christ. If you can see, look in the Word of God and see anything that you accept that you are a sinner and that you need Jesus Christ, I am scared for your life. Because there, if you cannot see that you are a sinner and that you need Jesus Christ, I don't believe you're truly saved. Tell me all you want to, you're blue in the face. If you don't believe that you need Jesus Christ and that you truly are the worst sinner that has ever lived on the face of this earth, you need Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. Well, after I'm saved, I'm good enough. I'm great. God still hates sin whether you're lost or saved. God will still punish sin whether you are lost or saved. You go read Hebrews chapter 12. There's a thing called chastisement. There's a thing called punishment. Guess what? God will punish sin whether you are lost or saved. There's examples in the Bible. Go read them. Go look at all the times. You know, the Old Testament, the books that we kind of skip over of 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, all those books that we kind of just, they're cool to read, but not that important. They are filled with examples of people who live just like you. Why do we have those? You go read 1 Corinthians 10. To not make the same mistakes. Because we are mankind and we are stupid. We make the same mistakes all the time. And what is, when we make those mistakes, what should we always do? Go back to Jesus. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. If you do not know what to do, go back to Jesus Christ. No matter what, there has never been a situation where the wrong answer is to go to Jesus Christ. Every day of our life should be, what does Jesus Christ want me to do today? What does Jesus Christ's word tell me to do today? It's not going to be some small, still voice. It's not going to be some profound prophet that comes up to you and smacks you across the face. You know what it's going to be? You looking into the Word of God and that Holy Spirit convicting your soul and telling you where you've screwed up. If you can look into the Word of God and not get convicted about something, you need to look a little bit harder. Because there should never be a thing that we get into the Word of God that does not convict us. We should not go through a church service where we are not convicted and the Bible does not step on our toes. Now, I'm not saying you're full of sin, but guess what? We can always do better. I always hated in school, there's always room for improvement. You can never get 100% in the church school because there's always room for improvement. I hated that as a kid, but guess what? It's true. No matter where you're at with God, there's always room for improvement. Well, you know, at least I'm better than I was. Great, keep going. Because you go read the verses in Amos and Zechariah, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Turn to Zechariah 12. Zechariah 1, verse 12. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. You know what that verse is saying? If we just sit back and say, it's going to be okay. It's not that big of a deal. You know, God might not do great things. He might not do evil things. It's going to be okay. Zechariah 1, verse 12. It tells us, that those that he will punish them that are settled on their lees. How many of us are settled on our lees? I said Zechariah. I mean Zephaniah. There it is. Zephaniah 1:12. Sorry about that. And then you go look at Amos 6:1. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. How many of us have just kicked back, relaxed, and said, I'm okay? Could I improve? Sure. But I'm not as bad as that, so I'm okay. Guess what? There's churches in Revelation that were lukewarm. What did God say? He would spew them out of their mouth. Because he would rather you be hot, ready for God, or cold so he can fix you. If you think you're okay, what can God do? Because on that, and the moment we start thinking, I'm okay. I'm not bad. I'm not good. I'm okay. You take God fully out of the equation. And you think, I am better than God. Show me a verse in the Bible that tells you you're better than God. Because I can tell you about 1,000 others that tell you you're not as good as God. You know, we sit there and we get caught up in ourselves and think, well, I'm a church member. I'm a Baptist. I'm not some false Baptist. I'm a true Landmark Missionary Baptist. It does not matter the title that is on our church building if we do not practice what the Word of God says. You can put all the titles. You can do everything you want, all the accolades. Church member, it does not matter how many years you have served God. If you served Him wrong, you have not served God. We go read those verses. 1 Corinthians 13. These verses have been read a lot. Talking about the love of God. Maybe we should, you know, maybe everybody else has got the picture. Maybe I need to start listening to what these verses said. You know, I don't think it's a coincidence that we keep hearing about the love of God over and over and over again. Maybe we need a little bit of that in our lives. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or as tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. It does not matter the physical acts that you do. If your heart is not right with God, God does not care about those physical works. There have been people who have died at the stake, been burned alive for nothing because their heart was not right with God. Lost person, it does not matter that you show up to church, that you can quote all these scriptures, that you can talk circles around anybody else, that you are the best fake church member that you can be. If your heart is not right with God, God does not care about your works. Should you still do them? Yes, still read the Bible. Still come to church. But get your heart right so it actually can count for something. Because I can't tell you how many times in my life I thought I was doing a lot of great stuff, and then I got my heart right and I saw everything that I just did was wasted. How many of us have wasted time in our life? Lost person, how much energy have you wasted pretending to be saved when you could just accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because Jesus Christ still wants to save souls. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 19, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of the transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by the angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but one is of God. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there could have been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to all them that believe. If there was something physical that you could do to save yourself, that's what God would have written down. But there's nothing that you can do. It always comes back to Jesus Christ. Lost or saved, forgiveness and repentance always comes back to Jesus Christ. But how often do we go back to Jesus Christ? I don't need a show of hands. I don't need you to say, well, this with that. Think about it in your own life. How often do you go back to Jesus Christ? Well, when I get my heart right at camp, that's when I go back to Jesus Christ. If you are waiting to get your heart right with God for some special time, you are choosing to reject God in the interim. And by the way, never once have I heard somebody say, I'll get my heart right then. Then has never came. They just keep pushing it off. Well, I'll get my heart right when I get my life in order. You can't get your life in order without God. You can't get anything figured out in your life without God. Quit pushing God off. It's amazing what can happen when you get your heart right with God. Everything else figures itself out. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. And I referenced Psalm 51. You'll go look at Psalm 51. What did David have to do? Create in me a clean heart, O God. Then will I teach transgressors thy way. It wasn't until he got things right with God that he could then do the work for God. David couldn't have sat there and said, well, I'll do all these things, and then when I get all that done, I'll get my life right with God. No, it's, I need to get my life right with God first, and then everything else will happen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, for if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For we are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You keep reading, and he talks about getting your life in order, getting mortified therefore things, putting things to death, turning to God. But what does it start with? If ye then be risen with Christ. The rest of it does not matter if you are not right with Christ to begin with. It always goes back to that. Lost person, it doesn't matter what you do or say if your life is not right with Christ. That is step number one. Quit avoiding Jesus Christ. Quit running away from him, coming up with all these other things. That will lead you to nothing but sin and misery. It always comes back to Jesus Christ. Turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 28, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. To God, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is it also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. We ought to obey God rather than men. What is the first step of obedience to God? Salvation. That is step number one. If you do not have salvation, you cannot obey God. After salvation, what is it? Baptism, being added to a New Testament church, then all those other things we like to add. You know, we say, well, what's it mean to live your life right for God? Well, I need to study my Bible. I need to pray. I need to show up to church. Great. How many of us, our first thought is, I need to get saved? First thought should always be, am I saved? After I've been saved, have I been scripturally baptized? If I've been scripturally baptized, have I been added to a New Testament church? Just because you show up to church does not mean you've been added to that New Testament church. You can maybe add yourself to a church. You need to be where God has added you. You go read in Corinthians, it says, please, 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 18, but now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. If God has not added you to the church, you better get your life figured out and go to where God has added you. Because you will do nothing but hinder that church and hinder your own service for God, being in a place where God has not added you. So do the checklist. Am I saved? Have I been scripturally baptized? Have I been added to a scriptural New Testament church? Then, have I been studying? Have I been praying? Here's one. Have I been paying attention when the word of God gets preached? Well, I show up to church. You can show up to church and not be anywhere near here. I know because I've done it. Showing up to church, left and not remembered a single thing that was covered in any of the lessons, song service, preaching. That's not to pat myself on the back and say I'm some, you know, great imagination person. It should show the reality of, guess what? You can show up and you can do everything. You can look good on the outside. But is Jesus Christ the center of your life? And if you are wrong in any of those steps, go back and get it fixed. Because just because you were baptized once, if you got saved after you're baptized, you need to get it figured out. Just because you've been maybe added to a church, you have the title of church member, but you were never scripturally baptized, or you were never truly saved, everything that followed has been useless. It always goes back to Jesus Christ. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We have to remember who Jesus Christ is, because how are those that are lost going to hear about something that they don't know? How are we going to be able to tell them about something that we have no idea who we're talking about? How can I witness to somebody and tell them about Jesus Christ and tell them how to be saved if I have no idea who I'm talking about? If I haven't thought about Jesus Christ in my life? Lost person, how are you going to get saved unless you go to the person who says, neither in salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What's that name? Jesus Christ. How can you be saved unless you know who Jesus Christ is? Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, Verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with the love, with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That verse applies to every single one of us in this room, because we were all the chiefest of sinners at one point. Because maybe I'm not as bad as Paul where I didn't murder, but guess what? If I've lied, I'm guilty of the same law that he was. I'm guilty of the same exact law that everyone else is. So at the end of the day, we're not better than anybody. We have no reason to boast about ourselves. And in fact, there's warnings in, I believe it's Galatians, it says, him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Because the second we start thinking, I'm so much better, I'm okay, is the second that you start taking your eyes off God. You go look at Peter walking on the water. What happened when he took his eyes off God? He started to sink. It's amazing that God gives us these examples, the physical picture of a spiritual truth. You take your eyes off God, you're going to start sinking. You know, VBS, I've been thinking about this verse a lot. Proverbs 3. Those of you that didn't know, this is the theme verse for VBS. It's a good verse to have stored away. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You need Jesus Christ to direct your path. You got to know who Jesus Christ is. You have to have a relationship with him for even him to even direct you. How many of us would are willing to take orders from people who we have no idea who they are? Somebody walks in here and starts telling us what to do. My first question is, who are you? Guess what? Jesus Christ told us exactly who he is. And all we have to do is follow him. If you are lost here today, you need Jesus Christ to save your soul. You need to stop thinking about yourself. You need to stop thinking I'm okay. You need to look at the word of God and see that I am a sinner, that I need Jesus Christ. If you are saved in this room here today, you need to stop looking at yourself saying, I'm okay, at least I'm saved, and start thinking, am I truly right with God? Because you go read Psalm 66:18, it's a dangerous thing to not be right with God. What if you need prayer in your life, and your life is not right with God? The Lord will not hear your prayer. When was the last time God heard your prayer? If you are unwilling to forgive individuals, guess what? God can't forgive you. Get into the Word of God and see who you really are. See who Jesus really is, because he is the one that in the midst of being killed, in the midst of people hating him, in the midst of everything, the worst moments of his life, what was he focused on? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Looking to the one, the thief on his side, and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. In the worst moments of his life, when at all things he could have been thinking about himself, he was still thinking about everybody else. And then he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I think he was sitting there, hurt that the Father had to be separated from him. In that moment, Jesus Christ wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about everybody else. And the reason why he came to die on this cross. Why? To save your soul. To have grace on all who believe. To justify. And beyond that, to forgive your sins even if you're saved. There's never a time that we don't need Jesus Christ. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. We're not going to read it. But you go read Isaiah 45 verse 22. Isaiah 45. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Here you go, read Isaiah 56, verse 7. It's open unto all that come to God. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We see in these verses, he's a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but the sins of the whole world. He's an advocate. We already read in Hebrews, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Until we are taken off of this earth, and the eternity is going on, and we are done with everything, Jesus Christ is sitting there making intercession. You know what's crazy? Even in the midst of the tribulation period, when everything's going terrible, Jesus Christ is still saving souls. Even though he's got his bride up there with him, even though all the saved before the tribulation period are with him, guess what? He's still saving souls. In the millennial reign, what do you think he's doing? He's still saving souls. Amen. Jesus Christ is not done saving souls until it's over, all over. That means all those that are lost are in the lake of fire, and all those that are saved are up in heaven with him. Jesus Christ, from the beginning, from the foundation of the world, it says, has never stopped trying to get you to come to him, doing everything he possibly can to get your heart right with him, to give you forgiveness. We read in Psalms 86 already, the door's open. He's never lost mercy. He's never done forgiving. He's willing to forgive. The question is, are you willing to go to Jesus, repent of your sins that you know you have, and go to him? Until that moment, you are willing to repent and fully let go of the sin and go fully to God, you'll be nothing but a sinner that is disgusting in his eyes. Yeah, you might be saved. But if you're rejecting God after you're supposedly saved, who's to say you ever fully accepted him to begin with? We have to be careful with the games we play with God. We have to be careful, lost person, how much time you want to give until God says, I'm done with you. How many times you want to keep pushing him? Well, I've heard it all my life. What if your life ends today? You won't hear it anymore. Well, I'll get saved then. What if then never comes? What if maybe you survive? Maybe the rapture happens. We keep reading the signs of the times are everywhere. When he comes as a thief in the night, no man knows when he's coming. What if he comes tomorrow? And the future date that you had planned, it never comes. We have right now to come to Jesus. Are you willing to come to him right now? Let's all stand. If you ask the song leader, come. We'll have an invitation.